Without further ado, let's not keep him waiting. He is the governor of the state of New York. His name is Andrew Cuomo, and he's always welcomed, and we say a very good morning to him. Governor, how are you, sir?
A very good morning. A very good morning to you, Mr. Oliver.
I appreciate it. You know, I got to tell you something before we get into some things. You know, you said it to me a couple of weeks ago. You said, Jay, be careful of those Buffalo Bills. And you were right, 2-0. How about that, Governor? The Bills 2-0 to start the year, taking care on the road at MetLife. Jets came back from 16-0, beat them. And yesterday, 28-14 over the Giants. How about that kid Josh Allen and those Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, look at Josh Allen, I think, shows a lot of promise. And I have to be careful here. Forget politics aside. I root for all New York teams, okay? And I'm very it's sad to watch the Giants the past couple of games. But what is the only New York football team that plays in New York? It's the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo has a love for their team that is really special. And to see the Buffalo Bills doing well really, I think, warms my heart. I know Buffalo is excited. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills, God bless them. They've come so close so many times. They keep getting up. They keep coming forward. And they look good. I tell you, they really look good. You know, you're right. They were down in the Jets game, but they didn't give up. They stayed in there. Giants game, they looked good. So I'm excited about them. I am.
Hey, listen, how can you not be? They got a good young coach and a good young quarterback. That defense is something else. Look out for those Buffalo Bills this year, I'm telling you. But we'll see what happens. I'll tell you, big announcement from you yesterday. Let's get into it. I talked about it all last week, the vaping situation. It's not only a crisis here locally around the nation, and you're taking steps here. You made a bold move yesterday. I thought it was a right move as well.
Well, look, the chronic problem we have almost as a society now, Jay, we have all these issues, all these problems that are coming to a head, and we do very little. And I think that leads to the sense of frustration that people have. You know, we see such major problems and problems that affect our day-to-day lives and our families. And by the way, our kids and these e-cigarettes and vaping, it's at the top of the list. This is a public health crisis. We have hundreds of cases around the country. We have dozens in this state where we have young kids who've been doing vaping. The numbers are astronomical, a 160% increase in kids. 40% of 12th graders now vape. You know, it is the new cool thing to do. It was suggested that vaping and e-cigarettes is no harm. That's a lot of hooey. It is dangerous. You have vaping at a minimum. You're getting kids addicted to nicotine at 14, 15, 16 years old. And these companies know exactly what they are doing. They are introducing nicotine to kids who are young. They know that it's addictive. They're doing what the tobacco companies did with cigarettes. They're advertising to them. You want to be cool, cool kids vape. You look at the names of the products that they're offering, bubble gum vaping, Scooby-Doo, Captain Crunch, cotton candy. They're going right to the young kids. And we don't know what these devices do long-term in terms of health effects. You're taking in steam into your lungs with chemicals. They're mixing it with other things, THC, vitamin E, acetate, and it's been presented as safe, and it's not. So we banned flavored e-cigarettes and vaping. So all these products that are designed to attract kids, we are going to ban by an emergency health order, except the flavor of tobacco and menthol, because there is a theory that vaping can be a last resort to get people to stop smoking. The only the only good news, quote unquote, about vaping is it's better than cigarettes. That's true, you know, but that's like the choice of hitting yourself on the head with a metal pipe, hitting yourself on the head with a wooden stick is better. But it's better, vaping is better than cigarettes. It's not the best way to stop smoking. The patches, the medication, the lozenges are all better ways. But the tobacco and the menthol, because to the extent that they get off smoking aid, tobacco and menthol might be helpful. But all the flavors that would attract kids, they have to be banned. And we have to get to, we have to have a full campaign to explain to kids, this is not safe. It is dangerous. We don't even know the long-term health effects. And getting addicted to nicotine in and of itself is a health hazard. And look, we learned this lesson. We learned this lesson with cigarettes. 1964, the Surgeon General linked cigarettes to cancer. 1964. It wasn't until 1998, 50 years, that we had a tobacco settlement where we stopped the tobacco companies from marketing to kids. And we lost millions of people, cost us billions of dollars. And you had a whole generation suffer. You know, I'm a former smoker. Once you get addicted to nicotine, it is hard to get off it and stay off it. And we have a whole generation of kids who blindly have walked into it with these e-cigarettes and vaping.
No question. Governor, I had a conversation with a leading doctor on this last week on the program. And, you know, part of the other problem is it's the black market. You know, these kids are getting this stuff on the streets. You don't know what it contains. You know, it's the THC and everything else, as you mentioned, the e-oil. And quite frankly, it's not regulated. And there are problems here. And that's part of the issue, what I brought up in the argument, and the fact that we don't know a lot about it. So, therefore, you have to put something in place as far as what you did yesterday. You have to ban this stuff until you find out more. But the problem is what's happening on the streets as well.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. You know, and look, it's in the culture already, right? I have conversations with these kids. There's an old Italian expression, we grow too soon old and too late smart. But they think vaping is safe. They think they know. They think e-cigarettes are safe. They have no idea. We have no testing. There's no long-term testing. And they don't even understand that it's nicotine. At the minimum, it's nicotine. And, yeah, there are counterfeit, what they call black market products. But they fit on the device that these major companies sell. They want to blame the black market. It works on your device, large company. They want to blame the bullet. Yeah, I know, but you sold the gun. And the black market compounds it, no doubt. But even these main companies, many of which, by the way, were former tobacco companies, they're doing the same thing, Jay. Frankly, it's an analog, in my opinion, to the opioid company who sold opioids, OxyContin, hydrocodone. They knew they were addictive. They knew it. They prescribed it. They knew it was addictive. And now you have a customer for life because they're addicted. And that's what they're doing with these vaping products. And parents are trying their best, but you know how it is. When a kid gets introduced to a peer group and they want to be part of the, to be accepted, and they're finding their image, et cetera, and everybody's doing it, right? That's the answer. That's what I hear from everyone. Everyone's doing it, and they go along with the pack. It's the same reason why generations started smoking cigarettes. Oh, incidentally, 2009, the federal government banned flavored cigarettes. You can only sell a tobacco or menthol cigarette. Why? Because if you start selling strawberry cigarettes and bubblegum cigarettes, you're going to attract young people. So we understand it. We just haven't acted with these vaping companies. And frankly, I don't believe the federal government is going to act because there's big money here. And the companies who are behind these vaping products and these cigarettes, as I said, many of them are formerly owned by tobacco, big tobacco companies, or tobacco still owns a piece of the company. And they have lobbyists from here to California. So I'm not waiting for the federal government. We know it's a health hazard. We know young people are getting addicted. We know people are dying. We know the numbers are going through the roof. Do something. Remember in the old days, do something. So New York is doing something.
A crisis without question. You're listening to the governor of the state of New York. His name, of course, is Andrew Cuomo. Governor, I know Saturday you also made some news about proposing a statewide project kind of to restock, restore some of the aquatic habitats there, that including the doubling of the Long Island Shellfish Restoration Program to kind of naturally clean polluted waters, all part of the environment. If you could talk about that for a second.
Yeah, look, there's a common denominator here, right? Major problems that we're seeing, and nothing is happening. The opioid crisis, this vaping crisis, and the environmental crisis. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, I don't care what you are. You would have to be blind and living in the state of denial instead of the state of New York not to accept the premise that something is happening with the environment. You turn on the TV, Hurricane Dorian, floods, fires, the Amazon, in this state. I deal with situations no governor has ever dealt with. We didn't have hurricanes. We didn't have these kinds of floods and superstorms. It's real. It's beyond politics. What happened? The environment is out of balance. The earth had a balance to it, and we have destroyed that balance. We have polluted the planet, the water, the air. We took it for granted. We just believed that we could do these things and somehow the environment would rebound and Mother Nature would figure it out. Well, you get to a point where you so destroy the equilibrium that it doesn't bounce back. So what do you have to do? Number one, stop polluting. Stop doing the damage. And we've been very good with that. Number two, start cleaning it up. And we've been very good with that. Number three, and this is what I want to introduce in January, start restoring the natural systems that Mother Nature, planet Earth, designed originally to keep the system in balance. So, for example, in New York City, we're going to start an oyster restoration program. Manhattan was famous for oysters. When Henry Hudson came up the Hudson River in the first place, there were 350 square miles of oyster reefs, 1609. The oyster reefs, Jay, that existed had the capacity to filter all of the water in New York Harbor in just a few days. Think about that. An oyster filters about 30 gallons of water per day. The existing oyster reefs could filter the entire volume of New York City harbor in just a few days. I mean, it's amazing. The oyster reefs were the original resiliency. They provided a barrier when there was a storm, etc. That's all gone now. So, restore the habitat that existed that was self-perpetuating. Long Island, we started the clam restoration. Why? The clam population has been decimated. Clams were the natural filtration system for water. We got to a point where the water was so polluted the clams couldn't live. But restoring the clams, restoring habitat, restoring fish species, getting Mother Nature back to the point where her systems actually function again. And you go all across the state, there are different problems, but they all make the same point. We have upstate lakes, freshwater lakes, many of which serve as sources of water for the local community. They have these, what they call HABs, harmful algal blooms, toxic algae, which is polluting the lake. You can't swim in it. It's dangerous for pets, but you certainly can't drink it. How did this happen? Well, the water is warmer. There are more nutrients. But that's what we have done to the environment, and we have to stop. And part of it is restoring the natural assets that were there. So Long Island, it's the clams. It's restoring the natural habitat. It's restocking the fisheries so they get to a point where they're self-sustaining. What we're doing with the reef construction around Long Island. So it's the next step for us in our overall environmental program. We've stopped the pollution to a large extent. We are cleaning it up. We're doing well there. And now restore, revive the natural systems that were in place that we disrupted. And I'm very excited about that. We're going to roll out the whole plan in January, but between now and January, we will be working with local communities to determine exactly what they need. So what is the best way on Long Island to restore the natural systems that were in place?
And you know, it's interesting, Governor, I didn't even know this, but much of human history, if you do the research, folks, shellfish had acted as the water's natural filtration system. I didn't know that. Because what it does is, Governor, tell me if I'm wrong here, it removes all the excess stuff, right? The nitrogen by incorporating the chemical into their tissue and shells as they grow. Very interesting stuff there regarding shellfish and what an aid it has been to the environment. Fascinating stuff there, but that's quite an initiative that's going to help out in a big way, no doubt.
It is, and you're right. You know, the brilliance of the original systems and how they were engineered is really amazing when you think about it. I was blown away by that fact that the original oyster reefs could filter the entire New York City harbor. Now, you so polluted the water that you killed the oysters. The same thing with the clams in the Long Island Sound and the South Shore in the Peconic Bay. Each clam filters about 5 gallons of water a day. And that worked. It worked. The clams were plentiful, and it filtered the water. So to the extent there was pollution, the clams filtered it. And the wetlands filtered it, and the marshlands filtered it. And we destroyed all of that. So the restoration of that is an important part, and it's also part of the respect for the natural systems that we disrupted. You know, there was an arrogance, Jay, to how we treated the planet and the Earth. We could do anything. And we were immune, and we used waterways basically as a sewage system for a large part of this nation's development. And we throw fertilizer on the lawn, and it's going to wash into the water, but it'll be okay. Yeah, well, it's not okay anymore, and we have to stop doing it, and we have to start to restore the natural systems. And we have to start to say to our kids, and the next generation, learn from the mistakes we made. We did go too far, and yeah, we were arrogant, and we get it, and we're restoring it, and we want you to understand that so you don't make the same mistake that we did. this vaping, I'm very passionate about the vaping and the e-cigarettes. Why? Because I smoked. I was stupid. I made a mistake. I don't want you to make the same mistake. A lot of people died, and a lot of people had pain, and it was very expensive for society. Don't make the mistake that I made. I started smoking. You know, my father had smoked as a young man, and I saw him smoke, and we made this mistake generation after generation. At the end of the day, the real goal is let's leave the place better than we found it, and let's leave the next generation with lessons that we learned, whether it's the environment, whether it's smoking, any of these situations. And let's actually do something to improve what's going on rather than just lament the crisis that we're in. I think that's one of the reasons why people are so angry, because they don't see any progress. They don't see anything happening. So, yeah, all of these things, Jay, by the way, there's a downside. The banning of e-cigarettes, I've angered the whole vaping industry and all their lobbyists and the tobacco companies, and they're attacking me today. I know. But when you take a bold action, you have to expect that there's going to be blowback. And that's why nobody does it. But that's why we have to do it.
It's a health crisis without question. The governor, ladies and gentlemen, of the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Governor, can't thank you enough. Very important stuff from the weekend. Can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. And we look forward to the next time. How's that?
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Jay. God bless.